This week, I'm coming to you from a secret location because, frankly, I'm terrified that Lisa and Andy's going to come down here with some police officers and have them kick the shit out of me. More on that later. But I suppose we better get started before I get that knock on the door. I am so sorry. Genuinely. From the bottom of my mixed up, mixed race, part white, part polluted heart, I am so, so sorry. I've stolen a white man. Several, actually. And some white women too. I know that they belong to you, but you know us darkies. Although as a mixed race person, I'm sort of in the middle, lightly toasted, if you will. We are just predisposed to crime. And unfortunately, my mother's lily white innocent DNA was just not enough to overcome my emotional kleptomania, and so I stole them. All of them. Pure white British hearts taken into my ethnic lair and used, probably in some dark and demented foreign ritual, because, well, you know what us people are like. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry to have caused you such distress as I destroyed the master race. Sorry. Thoughts and prayers. So as usual, I've been on the Twitter. I saw a tweet. I had some thoughts. It's from a guy called Catholic Brexiteer. I know. And he said, I want to know why on practicality. What is that? Practicality. I think he's trying to say practically, basically, but he spelt it wrong, bless him. Every British TV advert, we have a mixed race family, question mark. But he's put a space in between the question mark and the end of the question. I'm not sure why. What is all this propaganda about? ITV, Channel 4, Channel 5. No comments used here. I just want to briefly interrupt my dramatic reading of this man's tweet to say that I always find it funny that racists in the UK who obsess over how special they are for being white and British tend to have an atrocious grip on the English language, and I find that very cute. But anyway, back to what he was saying. This is pure anti-whitism against the British population and insults intelligence. This bitch who can't even tweet coherently is talking about intelligence. This is not a racist tweet, just a question with a question mark. Do you know what? Never mind. And I mean, I had to laugh. I mean, obviously, mixed race people exist. Hi. And mixed race families exist and always have done for a long time. Probably always will. But I mean, this is really getting to poor Catholic Brexiteer. So I wrote that as an apology to him for my terrible actions. I, as a mixed race person, firstly, I exist, and that obviously really hurts him, and I'm deeply sorry about that. But also, and this, I really feel like I need to atone for this, you know what I mean? Catch me at church for forgiveness, talking about this to the priest, saying, oh, look, I've done these terrible things to this man. I'm really sorry, Catholic Brexiteer. I, as a mixed race person, a person who isn't white, I've had sex with white men, white women. I've stolen them, you know. Oh, all these fucking foreign-looking bitches coming over here stealing our men and women because, you know, they have the audacity not to pick one or the other as well. Oh, fuck's sake. I know, and I'm sorry. I feel really bad about it. I know we're all supposed to stick to our own kind, but I mean, well, I'm a mixture of lots of different things, so it's a bit of a challenge for me. And I shouldn't make excuses. I should just look exclusively for people with the exact same ethnic makeup as I do, and I should exclusively go after them, because I am diluting the gene pool or whatever. I'm really sorry, mate. I feel really bad about this. I'll tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna ask for forgiveness first off, and then I'm just gonna lock myself away and never interact with anyone that does not look exactly like me and does not have the exact same skin colour as me, because I've done enough damage, you know what I mean? I'm really sorry. I feel terrible. Truly I do. This poor man is in a right state about this. He's very upset. He's been seeing all these adverts and they've been torturing him, basically. This is actual torture. We've got rules against this, surely. This poor man, it's like he's in Guantanamo Bay, but like in his living room, and the torture's coming out of the TV, like Samara from The Ring. It must be very distressing. I'm really sorry, Catholic Brexiteer. I will take what you've said on board, and I will look at my behaviour, and I will make changes, because... Well, we can't have you this upset, can we? It's just not on. It's just out of order, really. There's no need for it. At the end of the day, your comfort and your ability to practice racism as your beliefs is very important. And the likes of me have been selfish and unkind. And I just hope that you can find it in your heart to forgive me, because it's what Jesus, who by the way wasn't a white person, would want. Thank you for listening, Catholic Brexiteer. I really hope that this can bring you some comfort in these very difficult and ethnic times.
What the actual fuck is going on with this whole politics business?
Well, everyone really needs to stand up and say that, okay, no, this is not politics in the normal British way. This is something darker and bleaker, and it's got to stop.
Peace is possible and must be achieved.
We want Scotland to remain inside the EU, and we want the UK to remain inside the EU.
Labour is weak and divided and completely unable to offer any sort of opposition to the Tories.
And I say to all the doubters,
you know, I really actually am going to have to replace Jeremy Corbyn in that, aren't I? Speaking of replacing Jeremy Corbyn, well, that's been exciting this week. Rebecca Long Bailey had a launch thing that happened. You know that thing where people, they sing Jeremy Corbyn's name? They started doing that with her. There's a lot of, like, Jeremy Corbyn fans who seem to have migrated straight over to Rebecca Long Bailey, but they're also insisting she's not a continuity candidate. But they're trying to do the whole kind of lads, 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 but make it socialism thing that they did with Corbyn, but with her, and it's really quite cringe. Like, girl, it's cringy. It's very student politics. It's very cringe. Like, high cringe content. But that's happening. Also cringe. This morning, I'm recording this on a Saturday, but it has been reported there have been some kerfuffles for the notorious RLB already. See what I mean? You can't make her cool. Like, seriously, lads? Really? Anyways, so this was posted by Esther Weber. It's an exclusive from The Times. Two of Rebecca Long Bailey's advisors have already quit because her chief advisor, John Landsman, apparently they don't like his strategy. And apparently, John Landsman has told several people who left their previous jobs to work on her campaign, they're going to have to work unpaid? Girl. I don't get that. If you are trying to lead a party that is hot on the exploitation of workers and calling that shit out, you should probably not be exploiting workers, really, should you? It's a bit dodgy. You see, this is what I mean when you strip back the, you know, the whole aesthetic of she's so cool and amazing and she's just like us thing that they're trying to push on her. I mean, this thing. She's had a really rough week, to be fair. She, at her little campaign launch thing, she was like, we didn't act quickly enough on anti-Semitism. And everyone is kind of like, okay, sis, that's cute, but why didn't you say that before? Why are you only just saying this now? Did you not have any thoughts before, Miss Thing? Okay, all right. There was also some drama over abortions because she had a... Oh, Miss Thing has had a week, let me just say that. She was asked by, I think it was her local Catholic church, during the last election, they asked her if she would support stricter abortion laws. It was like a questionnaire or something that they sent her, and she kind of answered yeah, for changing time limits and things like that. There was a lot of people who made some drama, and they tried to act like it meant that because she's a Catholic, she has like dual loyalty to the UK and the Vatican, which is very much like when people would go after Jewish MPs and they would say they have dual loyalty to Israel. But the plot twist was this time people recognised that accusing MPs of having dual loyalty because of their religion was wrong. And so everyone was like, yo, this is fucked up. And I'm like, oh, you know what? You're completely right. But why couldn't you see this when we was talking about Jews? Oh, I know why. I mean, I know why, but still, I'm just saying. I don't think that she has dual loyalty. I don't think her decision or the box she ticked on that survey or whatever has anything to do with Catholics in general. I think it's her personal choice. It's what she believes is the option she should select. It is what she thinks is right. That is her view. There are plenty of people, both Catholic and otherwise, that would disagree. And there are plenty of people, Catholic and otherwise, who would agree. I don't think it's appropriate or fair to blame every person of the same religion as her and act like they're all the same. But again, this applies to Jews, and it would be cute if people could remember that. Anyway, moving on to... Oh, hang on. Oh, I'll just check my nose and she comes up a fucking again, so I better do it now. She said in an interview she tried weed, or she implied it. I don't care. I don't care that some politicians have tried drugs, okay? I don't give a shit. And frankly, anyone who really devotes more than about 30 seconds thought to it is probably a weirdo. I don't care. Oh, hooray for you. You did something kind of illegal. Oh, you're so much like us. You're so relatable. Anyway, moving on. Clive Lewis is gone. Thank God for that. Said everyone every time he walks into a room. Jess Phillips. She's had a bit of a week as well. Jess Phillips' slogan is Speak Truth, Win Power. Very cute. She really decided that she wanted to kind of zero in on Scotland this week, which is weird, because, well, she doesn't really seem to get much about it. That's a bit of a theme for Labour leadership contenders this week, actually. She decided to come for Nicola Sturgeon on Twitter, and it was like, girl, really? Really, girl? Okay, sis. All right. So she is essentially throwing out the same lines that have lost Scottish Labour seats time and time again. The same old, you know, oh, the Scottish government's terrible. Oh, they're so awful. I'm not really going to tell you why, but they're fucking terrible and they should be gone and it should be a Labour government. And I'm like, okay, firstly, Miss Thing, you, an English person, are going up to Scotland and you are essentially telling them that they are wrong to have voted in the government that they have, okay? Because they have voted for them at Holyrood and at Westminster for the same party. And you are going up there and you are telling them, oh, stupid jocks, you're voting wrong. How do you think that's going to go, Miss Thing? How do you really think that's going to go? But she continued. Miss Thing continued. She then took it to Twitter. She was doing interviews saying all the same thing. And I'm like, Jeremy Corbyn said this. Richard Leonard said this. And they've all been debunked, girl. All of them, every single time, it's proven to pretty much be a lie, and yet she is still saying the same thing. But then she's out here like, speak truth, win power, and I'm like, sweetie, where? It's, girl, I could not believe it. It's been a mess. It has been a mess. Yeah. Jess Phillips had a big interview with Juno Dawson. Juno Dawson is a writer, journalist, and is a trans woman. And the reason this was a big deal is because there is a lot of trans people who are concerned with Jess Phillips being elected leader of Labour because they are concerned about her views on trans people. And they wanted clarification. So Juno Dawson sat down with her for Pink News and interviewed her and asked about that. The big concern started because I think it was 2017, Jess Phillips retweeted a comment from a group that wanted to exclude trans women from single sex spaces. And she said that the demands were reasonable, but there needed to be balance between provisions for trans women. And I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing this wrong. I have never heard it said out loud. I've only seen it written down. Cis women. Is it cis? I don't know. I'm going to assume so. So a lot of people's concern was that she was firstly saying that the demands were reasonable, and secondly that she saw trans women and cis women as different. So people did want to have that clarified. There are people who are very concerned about that. So Juno Dawson sat down with her. Jess Phillips kind of explained her position on that. She stated that she worded it poorly and that she does believe there is crossover between trans women and cis women, and that she doesn't think that they're, you know, very different, and she doesn't think that trans women should not have rights. There are a lot of trans people who do not appear to be buying what she's selling. They're not really in the mood to, you know, forgive and move forward, that's their right, really. I don't think anyone is in a position to tell them how they should feel about this. You know, I will say, though, I think she's left it a bit late. I mean, Jess Phillips is not exactly shy when it comes to interviews. She's done quite a lot of media pieces, profiles over the years, even when she wasn't, you know, looking for leadership support. So it's a bit weird that she's only really chosen to clarify this in a major way now when she's running for the leadership. I feel like maybe she could have spoken about this before. But, I mean, Labour's going to Labour, innit? So, yeah, Jess has had a bit of a week. Lisa Nandy also had a bit of a week. She did this interview on Andrew Neil, right? And everyone, I didn't watch it at the time, but everyone on my fucking timeline was like, wow, Lisa Nandy was really impressive. Oh, she was great in this interview. So I thought, all right, I'll sit down, I'll watch it. And there was this bit, right? There's another bit I was kind of a bit dodge over, but we'll get to that later. She said that the UK could learn from Spain's reaction to Catalonia's quest for self-determination, shall we say. She used the word nationalism, I'm not going to. Quest for self-determination. Apparently the UK can learn from Spain. Now, for those that don't know, it wasn't all sunshine, roses and compromise. It was police brutality. It was imprisoning elected officials. It was literal violence against voters. People who were going to vote were beaten up by police. Now, either Lisa Nandy does not know that that was what happened and is therefore just assuming it was resolved through some, you know, lovely negotiation or something. In which case she shouldn't be using it as an example if she doesn't know what actually happened. Or she thinks that it is appropriate to go to Scotland and put Nicola Sturgeon in prison for wanting to have a referendum on self-determination. And she thinks it would be appropriate for police officers to beat up people in Scotland who are protesting or going to vote in a referendum. So either she doesn't know what happened and therefore shouldn't be talking about it, but for some reason is, or she thinks that violence and oppression is acceptable. Which is it, hun? Like, what? And see, that's why I was surprised, because everyone was like, oh, Lisa Nandy was great in this. Absolutely spot on. Everything she said was amazing. And I'm like, bitch, what the fuck? What is wrong with you bitches? What? What is spot on about saying that, oh, maybe police brutality and, you know, putting elected officials in prison was good? Girl, what? And these were, like, serious people. Like, I'm not just talking about, like, you know, some of, like, the shit-posting centrist dads I follow. I'm talking, like, proper, like, got a column in The Guardian types. I'm talking about, like, proper journos and, like, real influences in the political sphere. You know, people who should know what they're talking about, but had absolutely nothing to say on this issue. They weren't asking for clarity for her on what she meant from that. They were just like, yeah, no, this is good. And I'm like, no, it's not, bitch. What the fuck? Naturally, lots of people from Scotland were like, whoa, is this girl trying to fight? What the hell? Miss Day, saying? Stay down there with your town memes. What are you talking about? Scottish people were upset, which is fine. It makes complete sense. This girl is out here talking like she's about to throw hands. Of course they're upset. But then there's all these English political commentators like, oh, that was great. A tour de force by Lisa Nandy. And I'm like, you know that gif of the guy and he's blinking in a really sharp, that was me for like several minutes after I watched that clip. And then I just remembered everyone saying how great she was. And I was like, wow, the union is one hell of a drug. You bitches are pussy whipped by the union. What? I can't with these girls. I can't. I saw one journalist who was actually objective and said, you know what? She needs to clarify her position. That was not an acceptable thing to say. I saw one journalist do that. Everyone else was just like sipping on the Kool-Aid. Like, this is completely normal. Nobody else thought that she needed to clarify it. I was like, what kind of nonsense is this? And then, do you know what? I think it was the same day. She keeps talking about, you know, listening to voters. And she's talking about all the things that Labour did wrong before. And one of the things that she talked about was Jeremy Corbyn's defence of Russia, apparently. Basically, for those that don't know, there was a situation where some people were injured and one was later killed by a nerve agent that we now know can pretty much only be obtained by probably like the Russian, you know, military and things like that. It's not something a civilian is going to have to hand. So it was quite possible that the Russian government had a hand in attacking people and killing some people on British soil, right? Now, naturally, people were pretty upset. And, you know, the government, which is the Conservatives, at the time led by Theresa May, were like, you know what, we've got to do something about this. And Jeremy Corbyn got a lot of criticism at the time in his position of leader of the opposition because he said we should send samples, you know, for testing, make sure it's the same thing, make sure that it is definitely the case that Russia is involved in this. And a lot of people were very upset with him. And they were not happy. They were very upset because in their minds, it was like Jeremy Corbyn was defending Russia. So Lisa Nandy has now come out and said that was completely wrong. It shouldn't have happened. You know, the opposition should have been very strong in supporting the public and opposing Russia and all this. But it was not very hard for me to find a video of Miss Thing going on TV and defending everything Corbyn said at the time and agreeing with him. And I'm sure it wouldn't be hard for anyone else to do so as well. So not only did she not say this at the time when she had the opportunity, she said the exact opposite. She was out here on TV saying that Corbyn was right. And now she's all, oh, it was wrong when Corbyn did that. We never should have done that. No, the party shouldn't have done that. I didn't agree. And I'm like, well, you seem to agree when you was like saying the exact same thing on TV, but okay. But nobody seems to be calling her out on that. Again, you know, no journalists seem to want to say to her, hey, do you remember when you said the exact same thing, but like in reverse last year when this happened? Do you remember going on TV and like defending Jeremy Corbyn's position? Do you remember that? Because now you're saying it was wrong and you never agreed with it, but you went on TV and you argued for it. So I don't know why Lisa Nandy seems to be getting a really easy time. I don't get it. Like, I see a lot of people who are very behind her and they like her. And And so it kind of seems like they're just kind of shielding her from criticism a little. I don't know. Maybe I'm just seeing that. I don't know. It very much seems like that, though, because, you know, nobody really, apart from members of the public and one journalist that I could find from outside of Scotland. I saw a lot of Scottish journalists calling her out, but nobody else from, like, anywhere else, really. You know, so she's not getting much criticism in like, England from English journalists. I don't know what it is. What do they like about her? Is it the memes? I don't know. There was a bit of a kerfuffle with Rachel Swindon. I would talk about the other Labour leadership contest candidates, but I mean, they haven't really done anything. Keir Starmer still seems quite popular and he's just kind of doing his thing. Ricky Tomlinson from the royal family endorsed him. That's cute. He talked about whether Mark Darcy from Bridget Jones' Diary is based on him. Apparently he doesn't know. Emily Thornberry launched her campaign and love her as I do because the bitch is hilarious. Nobody cared. She's probably going to drop out soon. It was a fun ride while it lasted, Miss Emily. It was a fun ride. Anyway, Rachel Swindon. If you don't know who Rachel Swindon is, she's a very popular account with left-wing people. She posts pretty much all day. She posts like left-wing content, you know, political content. And also tweets with a link to her PayPal because apparently she needs money. There's been a lot of like suspicion surrounding the account. Some people believe it's actually her husband, because her husband was banned from Twitter for being abusive towards women with his language on Twitter. And then suddenly Rachel's account, which apparently had never really taken an interest in politics, suddenly became what it is now. So some people believe that it's not actually her, it's just her husband pretending. Some people think it's a scam. There was an article a while ago where I think it was BuzzFeed went and they did confirm that Rachel from Swindon is an actual person. But there is still doubt as to whether it is her account. But anyways, she posted a tweet that got her in a bit of trouble. It was in response to a message from the Board of Deputies in regards to anti-Semitism. They had a list of pledges that they wanted Labour leadership contenders to sign up to, and well, Rachel was having none of it. She was absolutely beside herself. She said, "Dear Conservative backing Board of Deputies, before interfering in our election process, we require you to sign up to these 10 points and unequivocally endorse them in full." And then there was basically a bunch of stuff telling British Jews that they had to take responsibility for the actions of the Israeli military. Which, I mean, no. Like, Jesus, woman, just say you hate Jews and go. Calling on British people to take responsibility for something happening many, many miles away that they have no control over just because they share a religion in common is wrong. Again, you know, this week, apparently people could recognise it when it was happening to Rebecca Long Bailey, but they can't recognise it when it's happening, you know, with other religions. I wonder why. I don't actually wonder why. I know, and I think we all do. Anyway, Rachel deleted the tweet, but it was screenshotted and it went around. Rachel is also currently retweeting many, many smug tweets from people defending her, saying, "Oh, Rachel did nothing wrong. Rachel is an anti-racist. Rachel is a good person." You know what I mean? All that kind of shit. So, you know, Miss Thing is unbothered, but she's not. There were some people who complained to the Labour Party because they thought it was inappropriate. And this was where the big plot twist came. Labour have said she's not a member of the Labour Party. However, Rachel, if you look at her account, multiple times she has said that she is a member of Labour. Her entire brand is that she is, you know, a mum who blogs a bit, likes cake, is a member of the Labour Party. So it's a bit fraudulent for Miss Thing to constantly refer to herself as a member of the Labour Party if she's not. Especially as that solidarity that she's built with her followers is kind of based on that. And a lot of the fundraising that she does, which is money she's fundraising for herself, again, would people be as willing to give if it, you know, if she wasn't pushing the whole, we're all in this together, we're in the Labour Party together, we're suffering together. Do you know what I mean? If she's lying about being in Labour, what else could there be? I don't know. But anyway, journalists have started asking candidates if they would condemn Rachel Swindon, if they support her account. Lisa Nandy and Jess Phillips have said that they would have her suspended. I don't think any of the other candidates have commented, but I mean, yeah, so Rachel's having a mare. Bless her. But I'm sure we can all donate to her PayPal and make her feel much better. This was at the start of the week. But I'm still going to talk about it because it's relevant and it's going to have long lasting consequences. So Miss Lisa Nandy was out here like, oh, maybe we should just beat up Scottish people who want self-determination. to paraphrase, Boris Johnson, he had a letter from Nicola Sturgeon requesting a Section 30 order, which is necessary for a referendum to take place legally. So she's following the rules. She's saying to him, look, we have got all these MPs that have been elected who are standing on a platform of we will ask for an independence referendum. We have got all these MSPs at Holyrood who are elected on the same thing. We're planning to use that for our campaign at the next election. We feel that people have been clear when they have said, yes, we would like a referendum. Can we have one? She's following the rules. She's doing what she needs to do. And Boris was just like, nah, babes. Nah, it's not going to happen. And we're still expected to believe the union isn't a scam. But I mean, what else are we supposed to believe? Look at this mess. I mean, she does the right thing. She asks for permission. She's got her mandate. And it's still not enough. They are still changing the goalposts, moving things around and saying, you know what? Here's another set of impossible standards. What are they supposed to do? You know what I mean? How is she supposed to legally have this referendum if Westminster are currently, on a constant basis, changing what she needs to achieve before she can? It's fucking laughable, really. You know, and I understand people's frustrations. I get it. I understand why people, you know, feel disrespected. They feel hurt by this, by the dismissal, by the way that it was handled, and the way that people are being so dismissive of them and their wishes. I understand why people are upset. I think a lot of people, if they had some humility and they looked outside of themselves, I think they could too, but I think a lot of people aren't ready for that conversation. I mean, it's just a simple thing. You know, if it's not a scam and it is a fair and equal union, then member states should not have to be asking permission just to hold a vote anyway. That's not how it should work. If it's fair and it's equal, member states should not be forced into things like leaving the European Union or having nuclear weapons dumped in their country and shit like that. They should, do you know what I mean? I don't know how much longer we pretend that everything's fair and normal.
this shit isn't fair or normal. I'm just saying. But, yeah. So, that happened. Because apparently, mandates only mean anything if we're talking about England. So, England has a mandate for Brexit because the Conservatives got a bunch of seats. But Scotland doesn't have a mandate for independence because, I don't know, their seats are yellow, so they don't count or something, like, clownery. Anyways, the clown show will continue, I'm sure, because of course it will. Because these clowns, being paid from my fucking taxes, being clowns all around London, all around the country, all around all the other countries in the union, everywhere, clowns central. But at least we've got the big Brexit celebration to look forward to. Apparently, they're still trying to persist with this whole, we're going to have Big Ben go off on the 31st or whatever. Just do it fucking quietly, because I want an early night before my birthday. Are you looking for a platform where you can have your voice heard? Find your home and find your voice on Rumble, the brand new video platform where you can share your thoughts, express your passions, and find like-minded people and creators. Download Rumble from the App Store or visit rumble.me to find out more. Love you, I do, in an endless, aching way. Sometimes the way it flows through my soul feels familiar and I'm found off balance by words I feel I've said before. I have been a mystery, a far-off aspiration, a headache, a heartache. His doll, his toy, your honeybee, her darling dearest, his sordid secret. The slightest bit neurotic, full of nonsense, Cherie. Romantic eyes, everyone's baby for a time, a girl built from stars and sonnets and scars. I want to be more for you. I want to be what you see in your dreams. I want to be the heavenly fantasy that haunts you, stuck in your throat because you're not quite ready to tell me honestly. I'm only complete when I'm built in an image that somehow someone completely adores. I am my own. I am fiercely individual. I am an Aquarius after all. But none of that is true when I belong to you. And every you that came before is just temporary. Scraped away until I shove their words back in my mouth, smiling and whiling away the hours, repeating myself and all my greatest clip show episodes because I need to fulfill you, but I don't know how yet. I am fulfilled. And this time it hits differently. Your name sits differently on my lips. Every second of my night terrors, waking me, saving me like a spell or a kiss. I call out your name and I am transformed, transferred to blissful safety. And love you, I do. And I think you love me too. I think that I fulfill you sometimes by the way I think of you, night and day. And I think you'd kill for me in my dreams if I asked you nicely. If I said it soothes me to see rivers of blood, oceans of rage, your white shirt, sweet neck, a gallery for finality. I don't know who I want dead next. I think maybe it would be sweet if you killed the bad dreams and bad habits I carry with me. What if one day I'm just somebody you remember when you see your horoscope as you scan the morning paper? What if one day I'm just an uncomfortable, awkward sex dream that makes you confused and upset,
causing tension with your wife that you can't explain because then you'd have to think of me all over again, but I'm gone and you haven't seen me in years. And it hurts to say my name because I did what I always do, and I don't want to be gone this time. I don't want to do what I always do this time. I don't want to run. I don't want to hide and self-sabotage, and I don't want you to remember me because I don't want you to forget. I might have to issue another apology to the racists for my cultural appropriation of the term rivers of blood, but sorry lads, I'm really upsetting you guys this week. I'm really fucking with you, I'm sorry. That, you know, what I just read just kind of, it started, I was looking through some old stuff and I found my Tumblr, but it was like a link to it. It was in a conversation and I had linked my Tumblr blog to the person I was talking to. I still have no idea why I did that, but and at the time I didn't know that Tumblr did this, but apparently it does. It like archives the details before you click through. So it had obviously my blog link, which has now changed, but it also had my blog title and the profile picture I was using. It's a really old picture of me, that someone I liked very much took of me. And so I used that as my picture for everything for months because he took it and it was important to me, until it turned out that we were never gonna work out and never be compatible because, well, frankly, he was a bit weird. I mean, that's rich coming from me, but when I tell you this guy was weird, real weird. Anyways, but the title of the blog was really what caught my attention because it was a collection of cute things he had called me. And I started thinking about the different things that people I have been in relationships with, or just slight romantic attachments, you know, the things people have referred to me as, the things they associate with me. And it just kind of got me thinking, and I wrote a list, which is far longer than what I ended up using in the poem. But I just sort of started thinking about how every single one of those times I had this sort of mini breakdown over, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to have a relationship or be a girlfriend or whatever, because I don't, and I still don't. But throughout a lot of the times, I was just like, I'll wing it. It'll be fine. You know what? They got a cutesy nickname for me and they smile when they see me and they take photos of me and we hang out and it's fun. It'll be fine. But there are times when I don't want to just put it on, you know, self-pilot mode and hope for the best. And I want to be what the other person wants and needs. And I worry that I don't know how to do that. Because when you really love someone, that's when you start worrying about those things and you're like, well, fuck, I've got to be what they need or they'll find someone else who is. And then what the fuck do I do? And, you know, then the whole thing kind of came about as a collection of thoughts and anxieties and also little sort of reflections on what I've meant to people and what I then later became. Because I was thinking about this situation a couple of years ago. I was just minding my fucking business. And then out of nowhere, my ex-boyfriend sent me a message on Facebook. And I was like, oh. And I was still in quite a fragile state when it came to him. And I think he knew that, I'm not going to lie. The basis of it was he had been going through my Tumblr and he found this post where I ranted about Spider-Man and racism. I have a lot of feelings about Miles Morales, I'm not going to lie to you. And he decided that he needed to message me. It later turned out, unsurprisingly to present day me, who basically knows this guy and what he's all about and all his shit. But me at that time was surprised. It turned out that it also had a strong connection to the fact he'd seen a picture of me on my blog that he thought was hot. So it then kind of devolved into him saying like sexual stuff. And I had this moment and I said, so you don't still love me? Because we had only been broken up, I think, a couple of weeks at that point. And he's like, no, I do. I just wanted to talk to you. And I'm like, at the time, I was very hopeful. Like, oh, yeah, maybe he does love me. And then maybe, we'll get back together and everything will be perfect. And I'll survive and everything will be okay. And I can be okay again because he's here and I have him back and he'll look after me and all this dumb bitch shit, right? Now I can look at it and I can say, girl, he did not still love you. He didn't love you in the first place. He just liked that you were young and naive and stupid and you did everything he said and whatever. But of course, me back then was a dumb bitch. And, you know, so, I mean, it was kind of fucking weird that he was still stalking my Tumblr at that point because he didn't even have an account that I know of. But I'm pretty sure he didn't. He didn't have a Tumblr account, but he was checking out what I was posting. That's kind of weird. But anyway, but looking back, I was essentially in his memory a sexual thing. And every time he's contacted me since, that is pretty much the way it goes. It's normally for a sexual reason. It's not because he loves me. It's not because he feels sorry about the things he did. It's not because he realized that losing me was the worst thing that ever happened to him, or, you know, that he's still madly in love with me. It's never that. It is, I'm a sexual thing. When, you know, if he ever remembers me randomly in the middle of the day, it's probably because he's thinking about something sexual. And then remembering that got me thinking, what does everyone else remember me for? You know, you know, what are the things that they might see in their lives that remind them of me? And what you become when you're gone and someone doesn't love you anymore, or maybe they do, but they don't like to think about it. And then I thought about, the times when you don't want that. You don't want to be just something that someone remembers every now and again. You don't want to be, you know, the image that they occasionally think about when they masturbate, or, you know, the crazy girlfriend story, or, you know, the anecdote they might tweet about, or, you know, the weird dream that they have that they don't quite get in the morning, and they're like, oh, I haven't thought about her in years. What was that about? because you want to always be in their life. And you don't want to be a memory or a regret. You want to be with them forever. And I have not had that often. I've tried to convince myself that I have many times over the years, but truly it is something I have only felt twice, I would say. And it is the most terrifying realization that you have found someone that you really genuinely want to be with for the rest of your life. And it's not some infatuation, it's not some honeymoon period nonsense. It is that feeling that you have genuinely found the person that you were put on this earth to be with. But so it's a rare thing. I don't feel that a lot. And this feels significantly stronger than any time I've ever had that before. And well, I'm terrified. So I just kind of wrote about it because, as you know, that's how we handle our business. Okay, so I'm going to talk about something that has been happening for a long time, and something that I believe, and I think many others believe too, has been enabled by certain social media platforms. I'm going to talk about Onision. For those that don't know who that is, I have talked about him on this podcast once before, I think. Onision is a YouTube creator. He has been on the platform for a very long time. He basically makes like kind of edgy, you know, humor videos mainly, which is weird because he is quite a not teenager at this point, but that kind of content is mainly something that teenagers are interested in. A lot of his audience are teenagers, mainly teenage girls. You know, you may have seen some of his videos around or heard of him. One of the things that has followed him for quite a while now is accusations and allegations that he has been using his platform to do inappropriate things with young girls. The allegations go from stuff like soliciting pictures of young girls, and then using them in his videos and rating how they look. That was quite a while ago now, he had a forum, and he would ask his audience to participate. He would say, send me photos of you and I'll rate them. According to him, there was a notice on the forum that people under 18 shouldn't contribute, but there is, you know, it was quite obvious that a lot of the children submitting were underage. A lot of the girls submitting photos were underage, and made that clear to him. But he still used their pictures in videos and rated them on whether he would date them and whether he would have relationships with them, which is quite obviously not appropriate. But then there is other stuff that is far, far worse, obviously. He's had a string of marriages, haven't we all? In pretty much all of them, they seem to have a common theme, which is control. His first wife, Skye, there are allegations that he wouldn't allow her to work. He was very controlling of her. His second major relationship was a girl called Shiloh, who was a singer. She was doing pretty well, and she alleges that Greg forced her to quit her career. He forced her to make changes to her appearance, and he was again very controlling. One of the major red flags, particularly with Shiloh, is that she was underage, and it is alleged that he moved her across state lines so that he could have sex with her in a state where it wasn't illegal for him to do so. I mean, by the way, I'm gonna be saying alleged a lot here because this guy likes to try and sue people. He's currently trying to sue Chris Hansen from To Catch a Predator. We love him. We love Chris Hansen. We stan. Chris Hansen has been investigating this for a while. He's been doing a series of interviews, live streams, and content on YouTube and other platforms to try and get to the bottom of this and give the people who have stories about Onision a platform to talk about that. And Onision is starting to sue him, even though people are bringing evidence, receipts. But I mean, so the next major thing after Shiloh was somebody called Taylor, who has now transitioned, and I believe is a trans man, using he, him pronouns, if I'm remembering correctly. And that is now Kai. And Kai, at the beginning of the relationship, was 17 and Onision was 26. Now, I can tell you from personal experience, no man well into his 20s has any good intentions with a 17-year-old. They just don't. It is also possible there are some allegations that, you know, Onision may have attempted to pursue Kai earlier than when they were 17. So, fucking hell. And the key thing about Kai, I hope we're all keeping up, by the way, is that Kai was an obsessive Onision fan. And this is an important detail because it comes back later. So, Onision proposed to Kai before they had even met in person, moved Kai in with them, and then married Kai without Kai's parents' knowledge. very cool, very normal. I remember Kai was an obsessive fan of Onision. When someone is young and passionate about a celebrity, sometimes they're going to do things that are probably not in their best interest because, you know, because it's every teenage fan's dream, really, to have your favourite celebrity reach out to you and start talking to you and fall in love with you and propose to you and bring you to their house and marry you. And you don't think about how fucked up it is and how young you are. You don't think about that. So, I mean, that is a big concern. And it's something that kind of repeats, because Onision and Kai later opened up about the fact that they were interested in adding a partner to the relationship and having a polyamorous trinity. So Billy was added to the relationship. Billy, again, very young and a fan. Billy later opened up about the relationship and she said that Onision would try and manipulate her into doing things that Kai wouldn't have wanted them to do, such as them being intimate with each other without Kai. After Billy was caught taking drugs, Billy says that Onision tried to force her to stay chained in his basement for a week, be branded with the word liar, and shave her head to atone for what she had done. Now, I mean, obviously that's not normal behaviour, really, is it? And do you know the worst part? Onision doesn't even deny that. He made a video where he tried to act like it was normal and it was like some sex game. And it's like, bro, what the fuck? Like, he doesn't even hide that he did definitely do that. Billy is not lying about that. He openly said, yes, I did. And I told her it'd be really hot. And, you know, let me put these texts in this video proving that I said it. So, oh my God. This man is absolutely fucking insane. There's been quite a few different relationships since then. There's been a lot of girls who have come forward and said that they have been approached by Onision to be a part of their relationship. That they have moved in with Onision and Kai and been a part of their relationship. Chris Hansen, again, like I said, has been speaking to a lot of people involved in this situation. It very much seems from the interviews and the evidence people are bringing forward that there is essentially a pattern of bringing young, impressionable, naive girls, particularly those who are fans and are less likely to call call Onision and to an extent Kai out on their shit, bring them into the house, isolate them from their friends and their family, and allegedly abuse them. And this has been going on for a while. I wrote something and I talked about talked about Billy a while ago. And I talked about that. That was a while ago. That was not recent. Billy has spoken about what she went through quite a few times. There have been other girls who have come forward. This is not a new thing. It's not a new situation. But what I mean when I say social media platforms are enabling this is that there is clear evidence being presented, not just in the Chris Hansen videos, but in multiple videos, social media posts dating back years at this point. There is evidence that Onision, or Greg, or James, or whatever the hell he's saying his name is this day, is utilizing social media to connect with young girls, gain their trust, form a relationship with them, and then allegedly bring them to his house and abusing them. There is also evidence that Kai is now doing the same thing. And again, utilizing social media platforms, utilizing YouTube, Twitter, Instagram. And there are some platforms that have not allowed this to continue. As far as I'm aware, Patreon, you know, I can't say that word. Twitch, some web hosting companies have refused to allow Onision to use their platforms because of these concerns, because of people presenting them with evidence of him using social media platforms to go ahead with these alleged activities. However, YouTube, Twitter, and as far as I can remember, Instagram, seem to have absolutely no concerns about him using their platforms. Now, Twitter and Instagram both have direct messaging features. You do not have to be a mutual with somebody on Instagram to message them. Twitter, depending on their account settings, you don't sometimes. YouTube, obviously, I don't think YouTube has DMs anymore, but it is still a huge platform for him to reach new people, and also he makes money. He has been quite open about the fact that since he lost access to Patreon, he has been using YouTube even more to make money. He literally made a video explaining this quite recently. He said, since he lost Patreon, he has been making outrageous videos that he knows people will click on so that he can get some of the money that he would have got from Patreon through ad revenue. YouTube is continuing to monetize his channel and allowing him to keep making money. Twitter and Instagram are allowing him to continue to post. Twitter, literally his entire feed some days is just absurd sexual content. Him posting very, very sexual content, despite the fact, as I said earlier, he and most people is well aware that his primary audience is teenage girls. You know, it's quite obvious that a lot of his fans are teenage girls, and yet he is constantly posting sexual content. And I don't just mean, like, you know, suggestive stuff. I mean outright sexual tweets. You know, and Twitter's fine with that, because, I mean, of course they are. A platform that recently changed its rules to allow paedophiles to openly talk about their fantasies of abusing kids is not really going to care, but there we are. You know, he's posting this kind of content. He's monetizing content on YouTube. It is highly likely that he could be continuing to utilize Twitter and Instagram to reach out to vulnerable girls. There is a lot of evidence that these are the things he has done in the past, that he has utilized YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, other platforms to find, build relationships with, and then have inappropriate contact with vulnerable young girls. And yet these platforms are sitting there acting like they can't do anything, acting like they don't know why people are expecting them to take responsibility. And this isn't even the first time he's got a free pass for doing things that are terrible. On YouTube, he made a series of videos over several years openly bullying another YouTuber called Eugenia Cooney, who was suffering with an eating disorder at the time. He was openly bullying her. He's now tried to reframe the narrative that he was helping her and he was encouraging her to get help. But I mean, he's full of shit. So, and YouTube did nothing. You know, Eugenia's friends and, you know, her fans as well were saying it's not appropriate that he should be allowed to constantly target her in this way. And YouTube were just kind of like, but what can we do? Oh, it's just a helpless platform. Oh God, what? And it's like, I tell you what you can do. You can stop allowing him to monetize this shit for a start. You can, you know, take away his platform. No, but YouTube isn't a human right. Having a YouTube channel is not a human right. You have the right to take away someone's channel at any point. You do. You know, he couldn't do anything about it if he wanted to. He will probably try and sue you for like loss of income, but he will lose because having a YouTube channel is not a human right. It is not something that he is owed or entitled to. You could have taken away his platform when he was using it to bully a vulnerable young woman who had an eating disorder and monetize that bullying. You could have taken it away when he was making videos rating the bodies of children, but you didn't. You could have taken it away when he was making videos and monetizing videos where he was bullying people with mental health problems, because that was something he did as well. And again, you didn't. And now he is openly saying that he is exploiting the way that the platform works to make money. It's very obvious at this point that it is a huge possibility that he is using the platform to find and exploit vulnerable girls. And again, YouTube could take away his channel at any time. They do not have to give him a reason. They do not owe him an explanation. It doesn't matter whether he broke one of the rules that's in place or not. They have the power to just take it away. And he can sue them and he can take them to court. And the judge will just say, you can't do shit. It's their platform. They can ban you if they want to. And yet YouTube will not use that power. And neither will Twitter. And neither will any of these other platforms. And I mean, what has to happen, really, until they actually decide to do something? You know, YouTube are probably not taking action, realistically speaking, because he is monetizing all of these videos. And currently he is putting out one to two videos a day. They are getting hundreds of thousands of views. Some of them are getting millions of views because people are watching this saga unfold and they think every time he uploads a video, what if this is the one where he confesses or he talks about it in more detail? And so they click it straight away and they get an ad, and YouTube gets a percentage of that ad revenue. So it is in their best interest financially to allow him to continue to do this, even though it is possible he is still using their platform to find and exploit young girls. Twitter is so terrified of losing engagement and users, because again, it helps them in advertising. If they can say to an advertiser, we've got so many users, we've got lots of engagement, you know, that's the same reason they won't ban Donald Trump's Twitter account, even if he accidentally causes a world war one day on it, because he gets so much engagement and they don't want to get rid of high engagement accounts. So I think it's a very telling thing that these social media platforms prioritize potential for profit over the potential to protect vulnerable people. Because he is not the first person to do this kind of thing. But he's doing it in such a brazen way. And these platforms, they just act like they're powerless. There are YouTubers all across the platform talking about this, begging YouTube to get involved and take some action before it's too late, before somebody else is exploited and has a story that they need to go and tell Chris Hansen. But YouTube doesn't care. Google doesn't care. They don't give a shit. As long as he keeps throwing up videos with ads at the front that get hundreds of thousands and millions of views, YouTube doesn't give a shit. They don't care that their platform is potentially being used to hurt vulnerable people. And neither does Twitter. And neither does Instagram. Because, I mean, yeah, social media platforms are not your friend. They're not going to protect you. They're not going to keep you safe. But I just figure we can be better than this. It should not need the entire user base of a platform to come together in the way that YouTubers currently are to beg a platform to take action on something like this. It shouldn't need to happen, but it is. And I just think that's kind of sad. And I hope that YouTube, Twitter, all these other platforms will do the right thing. I hope that they will prioritize safety over profit. And more than anything, I hope that those girls get the closure that they need. I hope they'll be all right. And I hope that we won't have to wait forever for social media platforms to actually start to take responsibility for what users utilize their platform for.
Pre-order the new album and poetry collection, Dulles Ex Machina, by Jennifer Wahl at jenniferwahl.com.
I have a new music video that's out. I released it early because I can't be tamed. It's on YouTube and on my website. It's for my upcoming single Cloud Nine from the new record. I was just really excited to share it and I couldn't stop myself. But you can check that out. It's on the website, on the YouTube, but the links for everything are in the description anyway, so you can check that out, have a watch, listen to it. The new album and book and all the stuff that goes with it will be out on February 7th. And I'm really excited to share it all with everyone. I am going to be doing a little bit of a performance Thursday the 23rd. I'll be in London. All the details are on the website, so you can check that out and come down if you're around. It'll be really fun. I'm going to be reading some stuff from the new book, so it's going to be really cool. I'll be back again next week with a new episode, if I haven't been jailed for, you know, daring to rebel against the union. We'll see if Lisa Nandy lets me live. I'll be back next week, hopefully. Until then, you can check out more of my work on my website, jennaforman.com, or on social media. All the links are in the description, but pretty much everywhere my username is Miss J Squared, which actually I've always found a really ironic username because I'm shit at maths, but nevertheless, those are the places I will be. You can actually follow this show on Instagram with the username Sincerely Jennifer X. Thank you to the top tier Patreon supporters, Amanda, Kylie, Melissa, Anna, Sam, Katie, Christina, Josie, Gabriella, David, Eleanor, Alicia, Emily, Andy and Tyler. If you do want to support the show and lots of other projects I do on Patreon, then you can. The links are in the description. It's from $1 a month. You get lots of free stuff, early stuff, exclusive stuff. It's very fun, apparently. You can also support the show with one-off donations, which gets you access to the early release program, so you can look at stuff early. And you can also leave a review of the show or rate the show, and that's very helpful too. But I will see you next week. Good night, my love.